Win more listings and sell more listings with Realtor.com's Listing Toolkit. Most agents get their first seller lead within 3 days of activating their account. So get Listing Toolkit at Realtor.com/HousingWire. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is Ted Tozer, the former president of Ginnie Mae, who is now a non-resident fellow at the Urban Institute, to talk about the commission lawsuit settlement and his proposal to keep the seller paid model going forward, but with important changes around transparency. As always, I want to thank our podcast sponsor, Vesta, for making this episode possible. Ted, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you coming on. I wanted to talk to you about, an article that you wrote along with Lori Goodman and Alexei Alexandrov. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but your colleagues at the Urban Institute, about how the commission lawsuits and the settlements and those changes are going to affect consumers.
Right, exactly. Again, I think it's really topical. And like I said in the blog, I think it's really important to realize that it's really important, I think, to not change too much how the closing works, but get back to the concept of how do we determine how much the commissions are going to be. And that's really the gist of the blog that Lori and Alexei and I wrote, was to change how we determine how much the brokers get paid versus who pays the broker.
Yeah, because from your perspective, you think it's going to change. You think the part that's going to stay the same is that the seller is going to be paying the buyer broker commission.
Right, because it almost has to happen that way, because unless the buyer's broker's commission is embedded in the sales price, the loan to value gets really skewed. Because all of a sudden, if the home price is reduced by 3%, but the amount they finance is the same as they do today, then all of a sudden they're going to go from, for example, a 80 to an 83% LTV, which is going to force them to have to get mortgage insurance. Or it's going to, if they're a FHA loan, they bring the 3.5%, to closing, but you figure the 3% origination fee or commission plus the 1.75% upfront premium, you're now at 1.25% LTV. Well, that's not going to be legal. So the issue is we got to make sure that the sale price includes the commission, and that way the loan to values do not get skewed, which forces, like I said, people have to get a MI because they weren't planning on it. The loan level price adjustments from the GSEs get a lot more expensive the higher the LTV you become. So all those issues come out when we start talking about not including it in the sale price.
I think one of the points that you guys made in that I thought was relevant was if we changed it as far as who pays, then you have to really you have to have some regulatory changes, or you have to have some changes from the agencies on how they're going to look at things. And that seems unlikely. I mean, this is going to start happening in July. So it feels like status quo on that maybe a little bit.
Exactly. And what's I know the biggest concern that people raised with me when we first wrote about this a few months ago was that they're worried that if the seller paid the buyer's broker's commission, that it would include its sales concessions. Well, since then, FHA and I think the GSEs both come out and said now that basically the seller is paying the broker's commission today for the buyer, so it's nothing going to change. So they both have come out and said that won't be a seller concession. So that was really the biggest concern we had, because the other thing they would have to change would be this issue around loan to value. And again, I just can't see, for example, Fannie and Freddie having to change their charter to say that all of a sudden 83% LTV doesn't require MI. Or that FHA can now go to 101.25% LTV, which would mean taking act for Congress. So all these things are not as simple as what you would think to change, because the issue I see is loan to value that they'd really have to change. Now they've all agreed that paying the buyer's broker, the seller buying it, would not be treated as a seller concession. I think that takes most of the issues out of the way from the agencies and from the GSEs.
Yeah, and thankfully they came out with that pretty quick, because things are changing fast. And, if that was still a question, we'd all be in trouble considering this is going to happen starting in July.
Exactly. And that's the reason why I think it's so important to try to maintain as much of the status quo as possible versus trying to do any kind of major changes, because the chances of really trying to figure out the unintended consequences, we don't have time. I mean, to kind of think this whole thing through. So the gist of our blog was, what needs to really change to conform to the settlement without changing really fundamentally how the process works. And that's kind of what came up with our proposal.
Okay, well, let's dive in there. So what do you think is the biggest thing that's going to have to change?
Well, the biggest thing that's going to change is, like I said, in the settlement, you know, the buyer will have to sign an agreement with their broker before they start looking for a home. That's going to determine what, you know, services they're going to provide as far as a broker and what they're going to be paid for providing those services. And that'll be signed up front, just like the seller signs a listing agent with their listing agent today. So that's going to change. We're all part of the settlement. The thing that I think will change besides that is that when a potential buyer finds a home that they'd like to put an offer on, they're only going to put an offer on saying what they're going to pay for the home, like say $400,000 for this house. They're also going to say, we expect you to pay X for my broker's commission. So the broker's commission becomes part of the negotiation process, just like the sale price of the home. And that's what's going to change. So basically the offer forms that the realtors would use would now have a spot in there for them, the buyer, to put their broker's commission in, so that's part of the formal offer that's going to the seller.
That's interesting. I was on a webinar a couple weeks ago, only about a week and a half ago now, with some top brokers from brokerages, and they were talking about how they've already had buyers reaching out to listing agents directly and saying, hey, you should take my offer because I don't have a buyer's agent. You don't have to pay a buyer's fee. So we have, you know, consumers who understand that this might mean less money for them or what, or feeling like the seller is going to take their offer because they don't have to pay a buyer's agent. All of these brokers were like, you know, we don't want to work directly with the buyer. Like, that's a nightmare for most people. But I mean, you are going to see people try to figure out this system. And that's one of the ways.
Exactly. What we're trying to encourage people to do is, you know, not to go 100% broker free, but the idea that if you're going to deal with a broker and you don't need a whole lot of services, you know, lay that up front. You know, if all you need for them is to really submit your offer to the seller and negotiate, that's fine. You can look for your own homes. You're going to do your own searches, whatever it's going to be. Then maybe their commission is only, you know, 1% or whatever it might be. But the idea we're proposing that, again, that the commission gets is tied to exactly the services you provide. If you're a first-time home buyer that's never bought a home before, you're probably going to want the realtor to not only go through and negotiate your price, but also help you through the financing process, understanding how to, what question you ask from your loan originator, all that good stuff. And at that point, it'll probably be, you know, the full 3% commission. But we just encourage people to, again, to negotiate accordingly with their broker when they sign with them. And then also, then again, the question becomes the fee becomes part of the negotiation with the seller. So that way the seller's broker is probably just be working with the buyer's broker through the whole process of negotiation. Getting back to your point that your broker's brought up, they didn't want to deal with all these buyers. Again, they would have a buyer that's getting paid a minimal commission, you know, to their broker.
Yeah, no, I can see lots of things there. So one of the things that I was at the Sitzer Burnett trial, and for part of it, and one of the things that they brought up was like, you know, oh, this is going to save everybody so much money, all of this. How much money do you think you're actually going to save? You know, because you make the point like fees might go down, but, you know, what does that really look like?
Well, I think the fees are going to possibly go down. It depends on who you're talking about. I mean, like I said, if you're a person who needs the whole spectrum of products that your broker's going to offer, it's probably not going to drop much at all. But if you're a person that's now buying their, you know, third, fourth, fifth home, and they pretty much know them, their neighborhoods, they know about the houses, they know about the whole process, then their commission is probably going to drop pretty substantially. But also, too, on the flip side, I'm looking for the seller's commission to drop, too. Because think about it, if you're a seller and you sold numerous homes and you're in a situation where you don't need somebody to really help you stage your house or to get it ready to sell or whatever, you may come back and say, I'm not paying you 3%, you know, your normal half or 6%. I'll pay you 2 or 1 just to list me. So I'm thinking that both sides of the process, their brokers are going to be paid based on their the services providing, not some standard for the community as far as what the brokers are paid.
One of the questions or areas that people are really looking at is a luxury home. So on a luxury home or let's say just a higher priced home, you know, that's what people have said, like, well, does it take more money to sell this kind of house versus this kind of house? And should you really be paid that much more? But it feels like that might be one of the areas that is going to be the most resistant to really, you know, having those fees come down. What's your view of the luxury market here?
Well, I think it's the opposite. I'm guessing the luxury market, you're going to have more sophisticated sellers and buyers. So they're probably going to hold their broker's feet to the fire and say, I'll pay you a flat amount, not based on the sale price. Because I'm more worried about the first-time home buyer who doesn't really know what to expect than the guy who's buying a multi-million dollar house who now really has lawyers and everybody else, they're working with that's going to help them through the process. Because in that point, the broker is really not providing a whole lot of services. And so from that perspective, I think those are the homes that are probably going to see their commissions cut the most. I'm speculating.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people who feel like, you know, luxury homes take a more targeted approach and it's not just, you know, they stay on the market longer. They might take more, more selling, but it will be interesting to see what that flat rate, you know, when we look back in a year, what did we see happen there? Like, you know, and if it was more of a flat fee, what did everybody agree to that, you know, what's the average there? What does that look like?
Exactly. And like I said, I think that's the key is we'll see how this whole negotiation process works out between the buyers and their brokers and the sellers and their brokers. Because what we're trying to do with our proposal is by having a situation where people start out with their agreements with their broker, with the seller or buyer, you start your process. You know, the seller lists in their home, the buyer starts to look for homes. But the key determinant is going to be the negotiation process. Because the question is going to be, if the seller says, I'm not going to pay more than X to both of you, both brokers, then the question comes down to is the seller might have to cut their commission too to get the deal done. So the question is, you know, how much do our brokers willing to say, I'll take a bird in the hand versus two in the bush and say, well, okay, I'll cut my commission by a few hundred dollars to try to get the deal closed. And I think that's part of that. That's where I think this whole concept of negotiation during the negotiation between the buyer and seller is so critical, because that's really what's going to determine, I think, what the commission is going to, I know it'll determine what the commission is going to be. And that's when you're really going to get the push versus shove, because the question is going to be is, in today's market where it's a seller's market, okay, it may not be that big of an issue with the sellers, but if you get more of a balanced market or a buyer's market, then it'd be interesting to see just how hungry these brokers are to get a deal closed.
Yeah, no, it really will be. So, you know, you've already brought up, and this is the thing that struck me from the very beginning when we talked about changing the commission structure for buyer brokers, is that the first time home buyer is the one who needs the help the most. They also are the one who has the least money to pay that person if they need to come up with it in a different way or finance it or whatever. So let's talk about what are your concerns for that first-time home buyer in this new environment?
Well, again, my concern is the first-time home buyer needs, I think, the support of their broker. So they need to make sure that they're not selling themselves short and think they don't need a broker for all these services. Like all of a sudden, a broker comes out and says, I can do these 10 things for you, and for that, it'll be a 3% commission, for example. But if you only take five of them, you know, it's only 2% commission. And I hope the buyers don't get caught up in the fact that, okay, I'll just take the five for the lower commission because that way I don't have to pay as much for the house. Because, again, under my proposal, basically whatever you're paying your broker as far as on the buyer side, that'll be an increased sale price to the seller. Because the seller, at the end of the day, my position is the seller should look at the net proceeds they're going to clear after paying all their commissions. They shouldn't be concerned about whether they're paying the buyer's broker or not. It's like, how much are we clearing? Which means, again, the more services they buy and the higher commission they have to pay their broker, the more the seller's going to have to pay, or the buyer's going to have to pay for that home. And so that becomes the issue of, they get hung up on this concept of paying an extra couple thousand dollars in commission, but because they have some really critical services that they don't take from the broker.
Hey Hey, mortgage and banking leaders, your customers need home insurance. Matic works with over 100 financial institutions to integrate their digital insurance marketplace into the home buying and ownership experience. Customers can shop 50 carriers and find a policy in minutes. It's a great way to create a new revenue stream that boosts customer happiness. Learn more at go.matic.com/HW. That's go.matic.com/HW. So, you know, over the last couple of years, we've really seen this administration try to cut down the cost of home buying on some things that might be, they're sort of around the edges, right? They can't do anything about the actual home prices going up so much. So they've looked at, you know, like, how do we get, maybe you only need a hybrid appraisal, or maybe you don't have to have the whole appraisal. That saves you, say, $300 or whatever. You know, title, maybe you can, you know, you don't need, title insurance if you have this, an attorney opinion letter. So, you know, we see them kind of, you know, biting at the edges. Do you feel like when they look at this, you know, they obviously, this is not, you know, anything that they led. This was a private lawsuit that, you know, a class action lawsuit that led to all these different things. But how do you think that the government is looking at, or the housing part of the government is looking at these changes?
Well, again, I think the thing that I'm hoping they're looking at, and a few times I've talked to them about, is hopefully they're looking, it's transparency. I mean, my point is that I think the whole concept of this lawsuit was that the seller was having to pay a 6% commission, felt they had no say in how, you know, what they were paying or how it was going. It was all kind of this, it was 6% or nothing. And I think the idea of having the opportunity of transparency, where people feel that they've got a say in what they're paying and have a chance to negotiate, I think that's what it's all about. And I think it's all about transparency. You brought up, you know, title insurance. Again, it gets back to the same issue there to some degree. You know, I wrote a paper on title insurance, and the issue with title insurance is that only about 20% of your premium that you pay for title insurance actually goes to the title insurer. The other 80% goes back to the closing agent. Well, the reason it goes back to the closing agent is because the closing agent's being paid to do title searches, do, you know, the closing, and the title insurer says that's critical for them knowing whether they got good, you know, title, is the work that's being done by the title insurer or the closing agent. So the question coming back to is, should we have the same kind of transparency where you only pay what goes to the title insurer, and then at that point, the closing agents actually have to charge what the real costs are to close a loan. But the problem is that I think the administration, a lot of people look at and say, okay, look at these astronomical premiums for title insurance. Well, they don't realize 80% of it's going back to pay for closing costs and subsidize them. And so I think the issue is, the more we can get transparency, it helps people understand kind of what's going on. And that's the reason I'm behind this idea of the title insurance, because I think the more that we would actually people pay truly what the cost of a title search is, pay for truly is the cost to close their loan, then people can shop more. Because right now they look at it and it's a nominal fee that I'm paying for this stuff. Well, it's not really nominal. You're paying it on the title insurance side. And I sort of like the same thing on this issue of the commission for realtors or for brokers, is the fact that you're in a situation where you get the transparency so people can negotiate, they can compare better, and they feel like they have more of a say. But in the end of the day, I don't know if the costs are going to drop that much. You still have as much work you got to do, but it does let people at least feel like they have more control because they're empowered. They have all the data versus being this black box that we have so much in the housing sector right now.
You know, a couple of years ago, when the pandemic market just was going crazy, right, 2021, we wrote a story about how, you know, if you are a buyer competing in that sort of competitive environment and you have a FHA loan or especially a VA loan, that a lot of times your file goes to the bottom of the pile because whether it's true or not, people perceive that to be maybe it's going to take longer. It might, you know, it's going to be harder. And so we're not in that frenzy, but we're still in a pretty competitive market. As you said, it's a seller's market. How does this change? Do you think this makes, you know, first-time home buyers or people, you know, utilizing some of those loans even less competitive?
Well, I think what it gets back to is that, like I said, they've got to compensate the seller accordingly. What I'm saying is, so all of a sudden, like I said, if their commission is going to be higher because they're first-time home buyer, they got to pay more for the house. So at the end of the day, the seller is getting the bottom line number that's trying to get to. And the same thing you're talking about FHA and VA and so forth, the question comes down to is, yeah, they may have to pay a little bit more because of all the kind of bureaucracy of dealing with the government agencies. They may have to pay a little bit more to entice the seller to take their offer versus somebody who's paying cash or that has a GSE loan that has no question it's going to close because it's a 60% LTV and it's a slam dunk. So it's just kind of a issue that you've got to, again, compensate the seller for whatever risk that you're expecting to take. Like with FHA and VA loans, the big thing a seller's looking at is, okay, what kind of inspection am I going to have to do? What kind of problems are going to pop up when I do the inspection? Or what's the chance of your loan not being approved? Those are all things that you're going to have to work into your sale price to get them feeling, well, I'm being compensated for taking on some of these risks. And so to me, I don't think that's really bad. It puts the first home buyer at a disadvantage, but still it's to me, I think that's the best way of doing it is just trying to get people to truly understand the complexities of the process to the point where they can deal with it versus simply saying, well, I won't take an FHA loan. Because if I'm a realtor, representing a seller, I'd say, I got this FHA loan program, but this buyer is offering you a couple thousand dollars more than the guy that's paying the cash. How about that? Do you really need to close today? If it takes longer to close, is that $2,000 worth it? So a lot of it becomes the seller's broker really having to help educate the seller on exactly what's myth and what's the reality. And if there is reality, the compensation that they're being offered to make sure that they realize they are getting paid to take on that risk.
Well, and this is, the complexities in the process is why I feel like either on the listing side or on the buying side, right? Like this is why you need good agents. So it's just interesting to me because when you talk about like, the agent needs to know this or, there's this education that has to happen on both sides. So for the buyer, for the seller, between them, all that. So if you're, say, a first-time home buyer, you're like, okay, I'm just going to grab this, agent at this, flat rate price, and they're going to do this for me. You don't even know what you need them to do for you, especially if you're going for some of these loans. You don't even know what you need to pay for at the front end.
I agree. That becomes, I think, the education. And hopefully at that point, whether it's a CFPB or other agencies will start putting out some sort of, pamphlets or information for home buyers and what questions you should ask when you're interviewing your broker or whatever it might be, to start educating them. Because I think it's really an education process because the idea of taking this transparency and moving forward in this empowerment is great, but it also means that the responsibility is going to fall on the seller and the buyer to understand really what these different services mean. So again, I hope that we do move forward with some government agencies not only trying not so much putting guidelines or putting limitations on stuff, but more educating people so that they really understand what's important, what's not important, and really what they should expect. Plus also, too, hopefully they encourage people to talk to people in their social circle. They bought a home lately. How did it go? What brokers did you use? So hopefully you get the same kind of mentality that you have as far as going to Yelp and other people to understand who's good and who's bad and how things went. It really gets that kind of a process going where people realize that all brokers aren't equal in their abilities. And we start having this word of mouth and people realizing how important it is. But you're right. This transition is going to be tricky. But again, the lawsuit's done. That's my point with people. People can write all these editorials about how horrible this is and so forth. But the issue I have is we got to do the best we can. The NAR, settlement is there, which I think is, they try to deal with the issues in the lawsuit, but the lawsuit happened. And so now we're where we are. So let's try to make the best of it. And that's what I'm trying to do with this blog, was trying to explain what I think is the best way to move forward and not get hung up wringing our hands of saying, whoa, it's me. We actually got to move forward and try to figure out something that's actually going to work as best as it can for all the participants in a real estate transaction.
So Ted, you talked about the CFPB. And one of the things that I've heard from the mortgage side is people are like, you know, they're very used to being regulated by the CFPB, and the CFPB has broad authority on anything that is consumer related. And they feel like, you know, the thing that I've heard from some people is like, as we get into more of these, like you're negotiating for these fees or you're taking money from consumers, these different things, if you're a real estate agent, does that then open them up to more regulation by the CFPB? And are they really ready for that?
Well, again, that's what I'm really hoping, that they look at this concept of education versus regulation, because the concept that I have is that, you know, you really shouldn't be stepping into the process of trying to limit fees, whatever, because as I've tried to explain to people in the Biden administration, is the more you do that, the more you're actually probably going to hurt people, because all of a sudden, if you limit their fees, then the brokers aren't going to want to do business with, for example, first-time home buyers, or they're not going to want to take on some of the more difficult cases. So I think that's the reason why it needs to be a form of education versus regulation, because if they have some sort of knee-jerk reaction and say we need to actually protect the consumer, besides educating them, I'm just really worried about unintended consequences. It could get really tough for first-time homebuyers, I think, because they're the ones that need the highest commissions. I mean, they're the ones that need the most handholding. So if they're limited in what they can, what their brokers can be paid, that's more damaging to the first-time homebuyer than I think anything else.
I also just feel like real estate agents, you know, they're familiar with RESPA. They know, you know, fair lending things, but I'm not sure they're used to the kind of scrutiny that the CFPB, like that if you're in, you know, the very regulated mortgage side of this transaction, you have long experience with this. But if you're a real estate agent, you probably don't even know who the CFPB is.
Well, but I'm also looking at the fact that these processes have been regulated because, I mean, for example, if you get an adjust rate mortgage, the Fed had a little pamphlet the lenders got, you know, that had to give the borrower to explain how the arm worked and so forth. So it really wasn't so much the Fed was regulating. They just required these documents to be distributed. So I'm hoping that that's where we're talking about. That's not so much regulation. It's more that there's some sort of a disclosure from the standpoint of having to give information to the consumer process versus trying to be the regulation, because I really can't see where the CFPB really has a role in this whole process, because again, it's not really anything that's really abusive per se, especially if the consumer is educated and I'll kind of compare that to a loan originator. Because really, the CFPB looks at originations, but they really haven't done a lot of talking about, you know, the fees and so forth. I mean, they've tried to encourage people to shop between one lender and another, but the CFPB really has. I'm not really aware that they really come down to any originator saying, "Well, you charge too much for your fees," because again, I think they believe that the consumer has an obligation to get two or three offers for. Originator. Well, hopefully the CFPB does the same thing with this, saying, don't talk to the first broker you talk to. You know, talk to numerous brokers, compare them, what services they're going to offer you, what they're going to charge you for it, what their reputation in the community is. And I'm hoping that that's the kind of information that CFPB would give versus trying to actually, and again, I'm throwing the CFPB just in general, but it could be the Fed, it could be some sort of banking regulator, but somebody who's a disinterested third party, that's what I'm looking at, that it's not going to be the realtor, it's not going to be, you know, somebody who has a vested interest. It's to me a third party that truly is out to try to make sure that the consumer gets the most accurate and fairest information on how to work through this broker situation.
Real estate pros, it's time to ditch an outdated negotiation process and embrace the future with Final Offer. Agents using Final Offer are beating their local market average sale to list price by up to 7%. With real-time offer updates, searches you can share with your clients, and the ability to make an offer in seconds, Final Offer scales your business like never before. Visit finaloffer.com today. How do you feel like the Biden administration, do you feel like they understand? I mean, they've been a pretty active in housing. I mean, if you think about like what the PAVE task force for appraisal bias, I mean, they've been more active in the housing space than some administrations in the last couple of ones. Do you feel like they understand this issue?
I think they understand it. because when I've talked to some people in the Biden administration about our proposal, I think they're comfortable with it. Their biggest fear is that there's this groundswell of pressure to try to do something. You know, for groundswell of pressure to have FHA or VA or, you know, the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie, do something special to change how they underwrite, how they look at loans and all kinds of. And that's their fear, is more the political pressure coming from them versus actually not understanding. And that's what I'm trying to do with our paper, is trying to explain to people that there doesn't need to be a whole lot done in the underwriting process. Because I'm really concerned about the risk we're going to put in the system if all of a sudden we say, okay, every LTV ships by 3% to make room for the commission. Well, is that really what you want? That all of a sudden, you know, all the LLPA fees change because the LTV cuts are going to be 3% higher, or all of a sudden FHA can lend 101.25% LTV on their loans. I don't think that's really the way you want to go. I think we really want to keep where we are today, where the commissions are built in the sale price, because in theory it is. I mean, basically, when a person sells their home and the person bids on their home, the implied commissions are in the sale price, you know, in today's world. So let's not change that, because we start changing that, then all of a sudden it changes all these other issues around LTV and so forth. What's a property worth? And I think that's the reason why I think they understand. I think that we need to try to maintain the status quo as much as possible.
You know, Clayton Collins, so he's the CEO of HousingWire. He has a housing powerhouse podcast. And he had the new EXP CEO on last week. And one of the things that they talked about was just busting some of the misinformation about what's going to happen now that we have this settlement. And one of the things was like, you know, don't expect home prices to go down, right? I mean, that's been some of the things we've seen in the media. I think even Biden said it at the State of the Union, something about, oh, this is going to help affordability, like home prices will drop. And it's like, sellers aren't going to drop their prices. They're just going to keep more of the money. I mean, that's my feeling. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I guess my point is the sellers, in theory, might take less for their home if they're clearing more at the end of the day, because it depends what the offers are getting. Because again, it's back to the point where they're going to take the highest offer they can get. Well, all of a sudden, if they're not having to pay buyer's broker, then all of a sudden people may not be offering as much for their homes, because the problem, because again, it's all based on comps. So because when you talk to realtors today and you put your on list your home, they say, well, in your neighborhood, these are the 10 homes that sold recently, and this is what they sold for. Well, again, if it's all built on the concept of a 6% commission, your home price is going to be higher than if all of a sudden the homes in your neighborhood are based on all that, you know, a net 3 or 4% commission. And so that's where I think it's going to basically possibly bring home prices down. But the damage that's going to be done, because since the owner value is calculated on the lower of sale price or appraisal, even if the home appraises out higher, it's not going to make any difference, because if your sale price wins out and it's lower than it needed to be because of your commission, because you as a buyer, you're going to have to, money's going to come from somewhere. Because if you're in a situation where, okay, all of a sudden your offer was going to have the your buyer's commission financed because you could finance it because it's in the sale price. But if you take out the sale price, you're not going to be able to finance it. So at that point, you're going to have to basically have a bigger down payment, which means you're not going to be able to pay as much for that house. So it's going to be a downward pressure on homes. So to me, I don't think it's a good idea to say home prices are going down, because I think that's going to hurt people. Again, it's back to this whole concept that the sale price, having the buyer's broker's commission embedded in it, is critical to help availability and access to credit. And I think that's where some of these people are missing the point, that I think that's where it's so critical, that even though home prices may not come down, it's good, because that way people can actually finance their broker's commission.
And as you said, I mean, they've already established that that's not a seller commission. I mean, a seller concession.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's really critical, because you think about it. I mean, I really wasn't surprised by that, because today the seller pays the buyer's broker today. I mean, if you look at your closing statement on your, when you buy a home, there's two checks being issued on the seller's side of the ledger, one to the buyer's broker and one to the seller's broker. So they're paying it today. So to me, it really didn't shock me. I think it was more that Fannie and Freddie were in the FHA were just trying to shut down all the discussion of, you know, this being a problem. But in reality, it doesn't change any of the dynamics because initially the seller concessions were limited because they were worried that the home prices were going to be inflated. Well, they're already inflated by the 6% commission. So, you know, so whatever concern they had about inflation of their home prices, it's already built in. So it didn't shock me, but I'm glad they did it because to me at that point, really all the barriers to our proposal had been lifted, I think, to the point where it should be able to be implemented without a whole lot of problems.
So what kind of reception has this proposal gotten across the housing landscape?
It's actually been pretty positive. I mean, from everybody from the Biden administration to the realtors to the housing groups, like I said, everybody doesn't like going away from the old process. But when I acknowledge them, tell them, keep reminding them, we're not going to go back to the old way. They all admit this is probably the best alternative that they really could deal with because it's back to the concept of, I was reading yesterday, it was an article in the Wall Street Journal, and this one broker was talking about the concept that, you know, that he kind of was working with people who didn't have, buyers didn't have commissions and so forth. And the issue he was talking about was, you know, I've got to cooperate with other brokers. Well, no, you don't. In our proposal, you don't have to. I mean, it's a situation where if a person comes to you with an offer and the offer says, you know, no broker commission, that's great. That way the seller has more money in their pocket. But if they put a commission in, then you can deal with it and it's all part of the transaction. So to me, this issue this person was raising, the fact that people didn't have the ability to really say no to being cooperating with other brokers, our initiative opens that up. It's all part of the negotiation. There's no limitations on how much the commission could be for the buyer or the seller. So to me, I think that's the key. But everybody seems like they agree with me. It's very important to try to find a solution. And this is probably the one that they think is probably the least harmful to the industry.
And to your point, we don't have a lot of time. We got to find something and all agree on it pretty quick.
But again, like I said, hopefully we move forward and rally around some sort of a solution and move toward getting that implemented versus just wringing our hands and saying, you know how bad things are going to be and try to make the best out of it because the lawsuit's done. It's all happened, and now we need to find a solution that works best for all the parties in a transaction.
Well, Ted, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, talking about the article that you guys wrote and your proposal, and really appreciate it, shedding some light on a very important topic.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show and leave a comment. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for more news and insight.